wrap-up of your day from Lincoln's most listened to news and talk station. Welcome to Drive Time Lincoln on 1400 KLIN.
And welcome back to Drive Time Lincoln. Michael Reed along with you on a Wednesday, January 13th. There's something you would like to pass along today. Our text line, 402-479-1400. If you have an opinion, we might have some time here and there to throw it out and about. Or you can weigh in on our KLAN.com poll of the day. Huge response over the last day or so about Ben Sasse and his job, or at least your perspective of it. And I recall it was overwhelmingly an F, over 50%, maybe a little bit higher than that. So today's poll, however, not about politicians, well, not directly anyway. It asks, should those 65 and older and those with underlying health conditions move up on the COVID-19 vaccination schedule? So yes or no, simple answer, one or the other. Right now, yeses have it overwhelmingly. 86% to 14% say yes, they should move up. As we know, the schedule has been altered a little bit. Some priorities have been adjusted as some states not doing as good of a job at moving through their vaccine as Nebraska has, have been very efficient across the state. Health directors have done a great job of getting it moving. And so now they're trying to figure out where to go next. And so whether or not 65 and older crowd and those with underlying health conditions should move up, that is our KLIN.com poll question of the day. Now we turn to the phone lines here on Drive Time Lincoln. Joining me is the Executive Vice President and General Counsel for the Lincoln Chamber of Commerce, Bruce Borer. Thanks for joining me today, Bruce. Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's good to be with you.
Some good news. I'm sure that a lot of local businesses are certainly relishing. You know, it's kind of one of those things, you're coming in with guarded optimism because you certainly are excited to hear about the second draw of the Paycheck Protection Program and all that it might entail. But there's a lot to it, Bruce, and that's why I've asked you to come on the show today. So I appreciate you joining us to perhaps shed some more light on this program, and even a chance for a webinar that some people can learn more about it. So thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, you bet.
Now, leading into... Bruce. I didn't mean to cut you off there. I wanted to lead into this a little bit. The Paycheck Protection Program, it's welcome news for small businesses, especially those, and in particularly those, that have exhausted their initial PPP loans?
Yes. So they get a second draw, and there's different changes to the program as well that make it more favorable. They're really trying to zero in on hard hit small businesses. It's NAICS code number 72. And that actually, if you're in that, you don't have to be in that NAICS code to get a loan, but if you are, you get to use 3.5 times your payroll rather than 2.5 times. They've also expanded, what's eligible as far as how you reduce or expand your loan forgiveness, how you can reduce the loan amount. And so, you know, you're absolutely right. We've been waiting for a while for this after the first program was passed under the CARES Act. And really, it was kind of touch and go, if you remember, right at the end of last year, all the way till the end of the year, the president kind of made us all wait to see if he was going to sign it or not, and he did. And it is, I'm sure, a very welcome sign for a lot of small businesses that are still struggling. We do have a webinar, and actually we have a webinar coming up, and if I could also just promote a webinar that we had just last Thursday, because we post these on our website, so that can be found at lcoc.com. Real easy to remember, Lincoln Chamber of Commerce, so lcoc.com. But that webinar was talking about this very topic. I just call it COVID-19 Relief 2.0. We had two local experts, James Anderson from BKD CPAs and Advisors, and Brian Clintworth from HBE CPAs and Consultants. These guys dig into this all the time, and anybody can go on our website, go under the coronavirus tab up at the top right hand and look for that. We post those webinars, the recordings, and we also posted the slides from that talks about all these different details. And it really is a lot to get through, so I'm probably not going to be able to go into a lot of detail today, but for a small business thinking, I got to have a resource to look to, this is exactly what you're looking for. Also recommend you to go to the uschamber.com. Their website has some tremendous guides there as well. And SBA, that Small Business Administration, SBA.gov, are going to be very involved, of course, in PPP loan administration. And absolutely, get in touch with your accountant and your banker. They know these programs very well. You know, Nebraska really shined in this area because of our community bankers across the state.
Bruce Bohr joins us today on Drive Time Lincoln from the Lincoln Chamber of Commerce. Bruce, one of the criticisms about the most recent wave of stimulus payments, in particular the $600 payment to the individuals and the family members, was that it wasn't enough after as long as people have waited, that it wasn't really enough to really address the needs. When you look at what we've got here with the new round of paycheck protection with the program, does it look like this is going to do a little bit better job than the first one to try to cover some of these small businesses? Do you believe this is going to be enough to help some of those businesses that are hurting so badly?
Yeah, I really do, because they also, like I said, they try to focus in on really hard hit businesses. They've kind of narrowed down the qualifying businesses. If you're a publicly traded company, you no longer can get PPP. And they do have different tranches or set-asides for small businesses in, low-income areas. So they're really trying to focus in, and I really do think it probably is going to be, enough. As far as the $600 individual assistance, I think we'll probably see a second effort at that with the new administration being, sworn in on the 20th. And I think President-elect Biden talked about that quite a bit, his interest in need of wanting to expand that, as President Trump did, too.
Well, and I know that I saw a news story shortly before I came on the air that I believe President Biden or President-elect Biden, excuse me, don't get ahead of myself, is going to look at releasing a stimulus plan tomorrow. A little off the point, but Bruce, I did want to ask you to as far as those businesses that haven't entirely exhausted that initial PPP but might be getting close or didn't get the first one at all, is this anything that they're going to be qualified for?
Yeah, they'll need to exhaust the initial PPP loan. And they can do that. And this will have new rules under, they could even, somebody that has maybe decided they took the loan out and decided they didn't want to really mess with it. There were disclosures of people that took the loans out. So some companies may have decided I really don't want to hassle with that. But there are different rules now, and there's really interesting interplay between the employee retention tax credit and the PPP loans that really can make it pretty valuable, and you can really leverage your forgiveness and also a refundable tax credit that's available to businesses and has been expanded under this second bill. So again, I can't stress enough the need for small businesses to get a hold of their accountant and their banker, certainly get on the SBA list for SBA local office. And you can find that, Google it, or you can go to SBA.gov and find the Nebraska office real quick, the district office. So, I think it will go far enough, but I think the Congress is also really watching that pretty closely, and it will wait to help. We also would obviously like to see the vaccinations take hold, and as we get closer and closer with more expanded coverage of vaccinations, what we really all want is for this economy to get back up and rolling and get it to full throttle. That's what we'd like to see. We'd like to re-energize this community, re-energize small business, and get it all going again.
Lincoln Chamber of Commerce Executive Vice President General Counsel Bruce Bohr joins us today on Drive Time, Lincoln. Bruce, I was kind of looking over some of these qualifications, some of the amounts that you were talking about. If I'm correct, this is for businesses, is it under 300 employees, but the loan amounts go up to $2 million. Is that correct?
That's right. And that's a change. The loan amount under the first CARES Act was $10 million. So that's a little bit, you know, smaller cap or tamp that down a little bit. Again, we're trying to focus in on smaller businesses as well.
Bruce, I did want to ask you, I'd noticed something, and I'm not entirely sure how familiar you are, so I apologize if I'm putting you on the spot. But I did notice something about in these new restrictions and qualifications, something about if your company does a lot of business or a large amount of business with China or the Chinese government, that it could disqualify you from this second round of loans. And so I guess the thing that popped into my head would be maybe someone in the ag industry that does some business through agriculture or maybe other businesses that I'm just not thinking of. But do you know much about that or what restrictions are in place there, what some of the specifics are?
Yeah, I really don't. I am aware that they do have, several ineligible businesses, and that was one, but I hadn't thought about that. I don't think it would cover, ag entities, but yeah, it potentially could. That'd be a great question for the webinar next Tuesday. And you raised this earlier. I want to make sure that people are aware. They can go online. They can go to our website and check our social media for the link, because they do have to register for that. That's a U.S. Chamber webinar, but you can do that either going to our website or seeing our social media or just getting in touch with me. And all of our stuff that we've done in the past, I think we've done at least, I think, six webinar. We've got a webinar series that we've done since the first CARES Act was passed last year. I think we've done six of them, but all of them are posted on our website as well. You can view those again and see the slides as well. So I would just encourage people, make sure that you register because you can't just hop on and get in the webinar.
Well, obviously, Bruce, with all this stuff, there are questions. So thankfully that you've been able to come on today and give us at least an option to go and look for some of those answers that people are certainly going to have about this. Bruce, you know, this is an ever-evolving, ever-changing situation with some of these things that are coming down from the government. So it's important for people to stay updated, stay informed, and this webinar coming up on Tuesday is another great way that they can do that, because this is huge. This is a way that, like you said, we could perhaps have a great opportunity to help spur the local economy, and I know that would really be a great way to start off 2021 on a much more positive note for so many that have just really been low because of the pandemic.
Exactly. You know, we make our materials and our webinars broadly available to everyone in the interest of the business or in the interest of the community recovery. So we're not, holding this information or protecting this on our website via a membership portal or anything like that. I know the U.S. Chamber does the same thing. We want to get this economy back to full throttle, as I said earlier. And really our theme for all of this is keeping business in the know, keeping small business in the know. I was going to talk a little bit about a shuttered venues grant program that's part of this bill as well, that's really trying to zero in on, you know, venues that really depend so much on consumers and maybe put on live events, could be a museum as well. There was a posting for SBA webinar for tomorrow, but we tried to get on and register for it. We were on a wait list. So we're going to get a copy of that, the webinar, and get it on our website. I know I've talked to a few small business owners today. They tried to get on as well and were waitlisted too. So when you hear about these webinars, if you're a business owner, I wouldn't wait. Get on and try to get registered as soon as possible.
All right, Bruce Bohr with the Lincoln Chamber of Commerce. Thanks so much for the information. Great stuff, Bruce. Again, maybe throw some of those websites out there that people might want to check out.
Yeah. LCOC.com, USChamber.com, SBA.gov, and certainly SBA local district office. I think you can get that through their SBA, the general website.
All right, Bruce. Great news, great information. Appreciate you joining us today on Drive Time Lincoln.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Have a great day. Bruce Bohr, Executive Vice President and General Counsel with the Lincoln Chamber of Commerce, joining us today on Drive Time Lincoln. We're going to take a break, come back, wrap up the first half hour right after this.
You're listening to Lincoln's only local afternoon talk. This is Drive Time Lincoln on 1400 KLIN.
And welcome back to Drive Time Lincoln. Just a few moments ahead of the bottom of the hour on this Wednesday, January 13th. We'll check in with Fox News, and then I'll throw in some news from today as well. And then we'll turn back to the phones. Busy second half hour. Julie Burney will join us. There is some live and sort of live online entertainment coming up this weekend. She's going to be part of the Comedy Cabaret series at the Ta-Da Theater on Saturday, and then the Lead Live Online series on Sunday. So plenty of opportunities to see her. We'll talk to her, find out what her show is about. And interestingly enough, I have a history with Julie Burney. We'll talk about that coming up as well. Dates all the way back to 1986. Yes, dating myself in some ways, I suppose. The 80s were fun. A lot more, yeah, different path. And then coming up just after that, we're going to talk with LPS Superintendent Dr. Steve Joel. We'll try to get as much information as we can out of him with limited time. Wanted to get an update on the pandemic plan for LPS. Also, with the news coming on the front page of the Omaha World Herald today that Omaha Public Schools are planning to return to full five-day-a-week in-person learning next month. So certainly haven't heard that from Lincoln Public Schools just yet, but who knows? Maybe there's some rumblings. We'll find out what, if anything, Dr. Joel can tell us about that. Plus, the LPS Security and Threat Assessment Team, there is all this rumbling going on about possible protests surrounding next week's inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden. And so full alert across the country, state capitals under particular watch. And so we'll see. I know they're not going to get too detailed into what their plans are, but we'll just find out what, if any, credible threats there are pertaining to LPS. And then really exciting news, focus program, cooperation with the Bryan College of Health Sciences. What a great opportunity to get kids into the medical field. Certainly a very high demand field right now, and an opportunity for them to partner with the Bryan College of Health Sciences. So we'll talk with Dr. Steve Joel about that coming up in the second half of the second half of Drive Time Lincoln. Unfortunately, today, Lincoln Lancaster County Health Department did announce two more residents have died from COVID-19. Deaths include a man and a woman, both in their 80s, who were hospitalized. Total the number of deaths in the community now at 177. Certainly thoughts and prayers to their families. The LLCHD reported 144 lab-confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the county today, bringing the community total to 24,705. Weekly positivity rates down a little bit this week, if you're looking for something positive here, no pun intended. Last week finished up at 28.9. Right now, at this point in the week, at 27.6%. And hospitalizations for COVID-19 right now at 101. So there you go, the good and bad and everything in between. So we'll have some more positive stuff coming up in the next half hour. Some funny stuff coming, a chance for you to laugh. Like Michael Stipe, he's not laughing at all right now. Right now I'm remembering the music video to this song where they're all in gridlock traffic getting out. See how easily I get distracted? In any case, we'll talk about funny stuff with Julie Burney, and we will talk about important but, you know, stuff you need to know from LPS Superintendent Dr. Steve Joel. When Drive Time Lincoln returns, right after this on 1400 KLIN. So you've had enough
this life.
This is a Fox News Alert. I'm Rich Dennison. President Trump today becoming the first U.S. leader to be impeached twice. 10 Republicans joining Democrats in impeaching the president for inciting insurrection for his actions leading up to last week's deadly violence at the U.S. Capitol.
There have been 21 successful impeachments in House history, and two of them are of Donald John Trump, the president of the United States.
Fox's Chad Pergram on Capitol Hill. In a White House video, President Trump tonight calling for calm ahead of next week's inauguration in the wake of the violence that led to his impeachment.
Mob violence goes against everything I believe in and everything our movement stands for. No true supporter of mine could ever endorse political violence.
Federal officials are warning of more armed protests in Washington and across the country leading up to President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration. This is a Fox News Alert.
This is where Lincoln's newsmakers make the news. You're listening to Drive Time Lincoln on 1400 KLIN.
And welcome back to Drive Time Lincoln, 5:36 on a Wednesday afternoon. We turn back to the phones. Julie Burney joins me now on Drive Time Lincoln. She is going to be performing on the Comedy Cabaret series at the Ta-Da Theater this Saturday, and then at the Lead Live Online program on Sunday. So, Julie, many opportunities for our listeners to be a part of your show this weekend.
That's right. And I'm going to be Friday and Saturday.
Oh! So yeah, I had my days
Friday
off.
Saturday. So I'm actually doing four shows there.
Okay.
If people are feeling up to actually venturing out into the world, I'm telling you that they have gone overboard about making that place safe. And so I feel very comfortable going into it. And, of course, they're following all the, you know, social distancing guidelines, but they have this great air purifying system. And, I mean, it's just... you could feel safe if you wanted to be live there. But if you didn't, you could watch it streaming there. You can get each one of the shows on by streaming them. And I just want to remind everybody, though, that, you know, cameras do put on 10 pounds, and I think they have two or three cameras. So that's 20 to 30 pounds. I'll look overweight, but otherwise I'll look good, I think, on camera. But so,
you know, Julie, I think people are just going to enjoy seeing you doing anything whatsoever because, you know, it's true. You don't know what you got till it's gone. People have missed being out in public. People have missed being able to go to live shows. And
that's
so
right.
What a great opportunity. And you're right. I'll tell you, they have spared no expense to make sure it's safe because they don't want to lose it again.
That's right. Everybody is, you know, everybody that I'm working with at both venues are doing everything they can to make sure that it's safe for people so that people can get out and about and socialize a little bit again. You know, I just think, especially we entertainers, you know, we kind of got locked down there for a while. But I decided that it's 2021 and we're going to start the year out by jumping in with both feet. So... so hopefully, cause you can just go to, you know, tadatheater.info, or you can go to, the leadcenter.org. So there you go.
Yeah. And then it'll give you all the information. You get tickets. You can find the show times. And Julie, like you mentioned, any entertainer that I've spoken to in the last few weeks is just so happy to finally be performing again. It's got to feel so good for you. So not only can they see the relief, but what else can they expect from your show?
Well, obviously we've had a lot of time to think and create. So hopefully, you know, we'll be trying out some new material and some responses to the stress that we've been in that will help people, you know, loosen up a little bit. And you know, that I think, you know, when they said we were non-essential entertainers, comedians in particular, I think at the time we just weren't priority, but I think now people are realizing that need to laugh is essential. And so it's time for us to all get back together and do that again and laugh, and move back into our lives with, you know, let's make 2021 a joyous experience. So that's what I'm hoping to get out there in the world and do.
Yeah,
so.
It should be a lot of fun, Julie. We certainly appreciate you coming. And I did want to mention before I let you go this afternoon, we actually have a tie from, holy cow, what am I thinking about, 34 years ago, for the love of Pete. This is great, because I know one of the things that you have done in your career is educational stuff. You go out and you help young people understand how great liberal arts can be. And I was actually one of those youth that was touched by you a long time ago. You came to North Platte, you chose students from some of the different elementary schools, and then after we had done some practice for a few days, a couple weeks, whatever it was, we put on a performance at the Fox Theater there in North Platte. And I can still remember, we did this little skit where we were being an inanimate. Jeez, that's a hard thing. Inanimate objects. We were a TV. I did this thing where I pretended to be Alfred Hitchcock. The whole place laughed. And I think that was the hook. Right then and there, I was absolutely addicted to performing. So that can have a huge impact on a young person's life, obviously, because here we are talking about it today. So I wanted to say thank you, and what a great job you've done helping, I'm sure, so many other youth to be inspired by the stage.
Well, thank you so much. Yes, one of the things I do is I try, you know, my background is improv comedy, and so I try to help people realize that humor is all around us if we just pay attention and, you know, and call it to the surface. So, we worked on, I think you guys did a few different skits, and then didn't we put all the groups together and do one big typewriter or something?
Yes, we did, and everybody did little pieces, and so, yeah, it was so much fun.
So finding that creative side of our brain and putting it to work, it's so healthy, it's so good for everybody, and I appreciate that you have fond memories of that. So
yeah, that was a blast. That was a touch of fifth grade class from 1986. A more contemporary version of Julie Burney can be seen this weekend, however, in Lincoln at a couple of different venues.
That's right. I'll be out and about. So join me Friday or Saturday at the Dot Theater or Sunday at the Leeds Center.
All right, Julie, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for joining me today on Drive Time Lincoln. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, Julie Burney joining us today on Drive Time Lincoln. Stick around. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Dr. Steve Joel right after this.
Local voices. Local reporters, local news done right. This is Drive Time Lincoln on 1400 KLIN.
And welcome back. Michael Reed joining you for the final stanza of this Wednesday afternoon edition of Drive Time Lincoln. A busy day. Thanks so much to all of my guests joining me today on the show. Bruce Bohr, the Executive Vice President and General Counsel with Lincoln Chamber of Commerce. Thanks to him for visiting with us about the Paycheck Protection Program and hopefully the help for small businesses it will provide. Also, Julie Burney joining us today on the show, part of the Ta-Da Theater Comedy Cabaret series this weekend, as well as the Lead Live online series. You can check those out online. And going back to the phones, they've been hot today. And save the best for last, Dr. Steve Joel, LPS Superintendent. Dr. Joel, thanks for joining me today on Drive Time Lincoln.
Hey, thank you, Michael. I appreciate it very much.
Absolutely. A very timely Board of Education meeting yesterday. A few things that I kind of wanted to touch base with you about, so I appreciate you being willing to come on and visit with us about it.
Absolutely.
First and foremost, you did give an update on the pandemic plan yesterday, and so I was just kind of curious, where you're at LPS with the pandemic?
Well, we got our fingers crossed the vaccine gets here sooner than later, right? So, you know, we've been working to develop a distribution plan, working very, very closely with Pat Lopez and her team with the Lancaster Health Department. And, you know, now it's a matter of, you know, we get the green light to do that. And, you know, educators are, teachers are tier 1B. You know, we're hoping that applies to all of our staff. We've got about an 85% of our 8,000 employees have indicated they will take the vaccine, which we understand is a really good number. So, you know, we're pretty excited. So in terms of the plan, you know, we're all systems go right now. You know, we came back a long holiday and I think we're doing okay. You know, we had a few more kids come back to in-person learning from remote, which we saw as a positive. You know, our goal is always to get all of our kids back into school, particularly at the high school level. And, you know, we're going to continue to work toward that, but we're going to work in conjunction with the Lincoln Lancaster Health Department. And we have Dr. Bob Reiner on our board, too, who is just a tremendous gift for us. He's a public health doc, and, you know, he advises us as well. So, you know, that's kind of where we are. And I, you know, I heard from a lot of parents of high school kids over the break, you know, please let our kids come back. And boy, we want nothing more than to be able to do that. And we're guardedly optimistic that that we're going to be able to take some steps in that direction. But I will tell you, disappointed with the mayor's press conference yesterday, where the numbers seem to be going the wrong way. And I've mentioned, Michael, on a number of different occasions, we want to be good community partners and, you know, do our best. We don't want to spread within our schools. And, you know, we've had a couple of instances of it, but for the most part, we've really avoided the outbreaks. Our staff have done a great job. So right now we're comfortable with the plan, but we understand parents want their kids in school.
Well, and Dr. Joel, I think that's a good thing to talk about, because you have parents on both sides of the issue. You have those that are vehemently opposed to going back due to safety concerns, and you've got those on the other side that are just like, look, these kids need to be in school. There's so much to do here. There's sort of those in the middle. And meanwhile, here you are trying to navigate LPS through this whole plan. So it has to have been quite a challenge for you to try to get through that, please everybody, which obviously is never possible, and make sure that the safety of the students and staff is first and foremost.
Well, thank you for calling attention to that. You know, I always say to the folks that I work with that, you know, we have to be responsible for 50,000 human beings. And, you know, of those 50,000, a number of them have very, very strong opinions on decisions we make. But one of the things about public education is there are choices. There are options. Parents have options, right? You know, like we often say on snow days. I mean, I still catch, haven't this year, of course, but, you know, in previous years, we catch a lot of heat over a decision that we make. Either we call it off, people are unhappy, we don't, people are unhappy. And what we always say to parents is, you're the parent, make the decision. If you feel like conditions are unsafe, keep your child home, and we'll call it an excused absence. And, you know, we do that. So it's one of those where we just, you know, we talk, you know, the amount of Zoom meetings that we have and meetings that we have on with respect to my team, you know, we talk about that all the time. You know, it's not about a special interest group or a strong personal opinion. It's about what's in the best interest of our students first, and then, of course, you know, our staff and our community. And I think we've made good decisions. Now, as soon as I say that, you know, somebody's pulling off to the side of the road and getting on Facebook. But, you know, I think we have. And I think, you know, one of the things that I'm really proud of, and I've told our staff this, is you read about what's happened around the country. I mean, there are districts that still have not had school. And we kept our schools open, and it hasn't been easy, but, you know, we've been able to do that. And, you know, people right now are really antsy. They want this pandemic to go away, and they want to get back to some sense of normalcy. And I feel particularly badly for the seniors, you know, and a number of them reached out to me and their parents that over the break. You know, these are the kids that have lost so much. They lost the second half of their junior year. And for the most, you know, up until now, they've lost their, you know, senior year in terms of being able to be around all of their peers. So we're meeting on a regular basis. We're trying to find the, you know, the best way to do it. Our high schools are about 40% capacity, which we think is good. We're working with the health department to see if we can increase that capacity a little bit. But the big risk is the asymptomatic spread, right? So it's somebody taking a mask off that has it, they'll know they have it, they give it to somebody else, and then, you know, the situation's unfortunate.
Well, and Dr. Joel, you mentioned hearing a lot of voices about, you know, the opinions of what you should and shouldn't do. And I'm sure that after the announcement the Omaha World Herald had today about Omaha Public Schools planning to return to full in-person learning 5 days a week next month, I'm certain that people are going to start to look at you and wonder if that's going to put a little pressure on. But, you know, it just goes again to show how difficult some of these decisions can be, because as we recall, Lincoln Public Schools made the decision to go forward with fall athletics when Omaha decided not to. So despite the fact maybe they're ready to take this step first, there's really no way to compare. It's kind of like an apples to oranges deal, and you simply have to, I would believe, look at what we're dealing with right here in Lincoln and not be worried about what other places are doing.
Well, that's absolutely right. You know, I always say we get compared to whoever in the state does something that somebody's interested in. People want to know why we didn't do it, right? So that, you know, Millard, for example, did some things early on, and we had groups that said, well, look what Millard's doing, look what Omaha's doing. You know, and some of it is designed just really to get us to think about it. But if we did everything that everybody else did, we would lose our identity. So we have to continue to use the best information and data that we have, make good decisions for our kids. And, you know, people want to emulate us, great. And if they don't, that's fine too. Now, you know, Omaha's a different circumstance. They've not had in-person education to the degree that we've had. And I know that that part of the thinking in Omaha is, boy, that, you know, we know there's learning gaps with students that have not had in-person instruction. The longer that students stay out, the wider that gap's going to be. And we're in a meeting I was in today with some national superintendents, you know, that's going to be the next shoe to drop in America is, holy smokes, did kids lose ground? And I think in Lincoln, you know, we're going to fare a lot better than most. So, you know, I I'm going to stand by our plan. I think we have a really good plan. I think it's sound. And I think as, you know, we get a little bit closer to a green light, we're going to open up the doors. We're going to get all the kids back.
LPS Superintendent Dr. Steve Joel joins us today on Drive Time Lincoln. Speaking of planning, something else I noticed in the notes, and something which, to be perfectly honest, didn't occur to me. We've heard the rumblings of the possibility of some protests, possibly armed protests, surrounding the inauguration next week, and understood that LPS has some security concerns. What can you tell us about that? What are you looking at, and what are some of the plans in place for you guys at LPS?
Well, first, I'll tell you, we have the best security team in the country. Joe Wright is, he leads it. He's one of, I think, just a half a dozen people that are certified in threat assessment. He's been all over this with LPD and Nebraska State Patrol. You know, there is a concern. We did receive the alert that every district received in the country with regard to the potential for armed protests. I'll tell you, as recently as today, we've said, you know what, we're going to gather as much intel as we can. We don't want to put our kids in an unsafe situation, but you know, we also know that our schools are very, very safe. And there's a call, I think, for a protest this Sunday at the state capitol. I think that'll be good for our authorities to take a look at and see, you know, how that goes. And then, you know, certainly next Wednesday could be a very disruptive day as well, too, with the inauguration. But, you know, McPhee Elementary right now sits right by the state capitol. And, you know, we've had some meetings with McPhee folks. And, you know, we're going to be paying close attention to what develops. And again, just like with the Lincoln-Lancaster Health Department, we're going to rely on our local police department and Nebraska State Patrol. And, you know, we'll make the best decision that we can with the information that we have.
Dr. Joel, a more positive note is this new focus program that LPS is partnering with Bryan College of Health Sciences. This is extremely exciting considering how much the health field has expanded, how many new job openings are there, and now an opportunity for LPS students to get a head start in the medical profession.
Thanks for changing the tone of the conversation, Michael.
I needed to. We got to finish on a good note, Dr. Joel.
This is a great, great thing for Lincoln. And just like the partnership we announced at Northeast High School with the University of Nebraska, dual credit, early college STEM academy, this is going to be a true medical science focused program. And students are going to come from all over the city. You know, think about all the people that are employed in the medical profession right now. You know, their kids, their sons and daughters going to be interested in it. It's going to be through Bryan College of Health. And, you know, it's going to fill, it's going to address a tremendous need in this community. I mean, these are students that are going to be serious about studying medicine. Hopefully they stay in Lincoln. And, you know, the Bryan brand is a really high quality brand. And I can't say enough great things about Dr. James Blake, who's our director of strategic initiatives, and the folks at Bryan that, you know, basically said, we're going to make this happen. This is real. It goes all the way back to the conversation with Kim Russell, who was the previous director, or excuse me, the CEO. And she was the one, when we first talked about this, she said, yep, let's do it. And we got her done. And I'm just so proud of the community entities that we have and the partnerships that we're developing. Because, Michael, I think before this is done, we're going to have the best pathway opportunities of anywhere in the country for any high school student that's so inclined to explore their interests.
Dr. Steve Joel, well, I hate to do this to you. We have a little bit of time left, and I wanted to ask you, part of the public comment, part of the Board of Education meeting yesterday was recommending that the Board of Education approve participation in a dual mass action litigation lawsuit involving vaping, and especially where it's involved with youth. Just a couple of minutes left, Dr. Joel, and I don't really even need you to specifically talk about that. Of course, I know lawsuits sometimes don't allow for that, but maybe talk about the dangers you've seen as a superintendent with youth and vaping just in the last especially few years, how much this has surged in popularity.
Well, you know, admittedly, I'll tell you, 4 or 5 years ago, I didn't know much about vaping. And, you know, slowly but surely, you know, kids quit smoking and they started vaping. And vaping is something that's not very easily detected and can be disguised and camouflaged, you know, within pens and things like that. So as we learn more and more and our teachers and our administrators became more in tune with it, we realized, wow, we got a problem. I mean, we got a lot of kids that are vaping. Had a lot of students that were cited for it. And, you know, so, and again, it's just like anything else, smoking of a decade ago, you know, we address it. And then this lawsuit materialized. And, you know, I think a lot of districts around the country looked at it and said, yeah, this is something that, you know, has really negatively impacted our schools and our kids and our families. And here's an opportunity to make a statement. And, you know, Lincoln's big enough that, you know, I think certainly we have a voice in this, and that's what we're going to do.
Well, Dr. Joel, I appreciate you lending your voice to our show today. Thanks for all the information, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Michael. Have a good day.
You Bye-bye. Too. Dr. Steve Joel, the Lincoln Public Schools superintendent, join us today on Drive Time Lincoln. Lot going on today. That hour went fast. It's good when it does that, though. Hopefully not too much information for you, but podcast is available at KLIN.com. Jack and Friends back tomorrow on LNK Today, right here on 1400 KLIN. Have a great night, everybody.